The scripture reading will be from Psalm 136, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, and it will be read from the New King James Version. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever.
Good evening. Good to be here with you tonight. Thank you for the scripture reading. I want to give thanks first off for the elders for entrusting me with the blind faith, I should say, to allow me to come up here and speak with you, and trusting that everything that I say is going to be accurate. I encourage those in the audience tonight to read along with your Bible and to make sure that everything I say is true in accordance to God's will. Just like Seth preached about this morning, to have characteristics of the first century Christians, just like those in Berea, we are to make sure that everything that is taught is in accordance to God's will, and I encourage you to do that tonight. I also want to acknowledge Joe for his eldership here at Brown Street. And one of my points that I'm going to be talking about tonight is humility, and I wanted to highlight the fact that part of being a true leader that you've done here for at least 7 years is demonstrate that. And what you demonstrated is you put the will of the people that served here at Brown Street before yourself, and I thank you for that. So as we get into the lesson today, the title of my lesson is Having a Childlike Faith. And on Sunday morning Bible study, we were covering a section of scripture related to prayer. We were discussing how Jesus provides the perfect template, a model prayer in the book of John. An example of this prayer can also be found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus stated how we should pray. And in that prayer, if you want to turn with me in Matthew chapter 6, it's going to be Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Jesus is telling his disciples the model prayer that reads, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The prayer is simple and effective. We give reverence to our Creator. Today, we now thank God for Christ, who rules over the church. We give thanks for the food and drink which he provides. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins daily and the sins of our debtors, to abstain from evil, and for the eternal salvation when this life is over. We then went on to discuss that this is not the only type of prayer that we should pray, and to avoid vain repetition, which are both very true. But I also see, as I commented that morning, the beauty in repetition Christ was teaching his disciples and ourselves today. And this concept is beautifully captured in a quote by G.K. Chesterton, and who he is as a person is not important, but I felt like the quote had a lot of good biblical concepts that I'm going to talk about here tonight. And that quote reads, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again,' and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. And I feel like this quote invites us to imagine God's delight in the repetitive beauty in creation. It suggests that what we perceive as monotony may actually be manifestation of divine joy. This idea is supported by Scripture, which speaks of God's ongoing creative power and the beauty found in repetition. So tonight we will explore how God's infinite delight in creation and his ongoing renewal of life invite us to embrace a childlike simplicity in our own faith. And through Scripture, we will see how this childlike approach to faith helps us reconnect with the essence of God's love and the simplicity of his eternal presence. And I also want us to reflect on how God in his eternal and divine nature revels in the simplicity and repetition that we, as adults, often find monotonous. And so the first part of that quote that I want to look at here tonight is, it is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 104. It's going to be the book of Psalm 104, and we're going to be starting at verse 10. Again, that was Psalms chapter 104, starting at verse 10. And it reads, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. The psalm illustrates how God provides for every creature in creation through the regular provision of water, food, and shelter. His care is displayed in the way he sustains all life through natural processes, showing his love and his faithfulness to us. And if you continue reading in that chapter, starting in verse 19, we also read, the Lord made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. So every day the sun rises and sets, and the moon follows its course. This consistent cycle is not a mere necessity, but a testament to God's deliberate and joyous creation. God's faithfulness is evident in the daily patterns that we see, showing us that repetition is not a sign of weariness, but a divine reliability for us. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, if you want to turn with me there, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, we read, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. After the flood, God promises the regularity of nature, the unceasing cycles and seasons of day and night, showing that his care and order are built into creation itself. These rhythms are a testament to his consistency and faithfulness. Turn with me to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 and 27. Again, that's Job chapter 38, verses 25 and 27. And it says, who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. We see here that God speaks of his care even in the barren wilderness, watering it and causing grass to grow where no one is present. And this shows that his care extends beyond what humans see or experience. God provides for all creation, even in places that seem desolate. And my last point for this will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and that will be verses 10 and 11. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 10, he says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So just as rain and snow continually nourish the earth, causing it to produce food, God's word and promises are constant and effective. The cycle of nature mirrors his unwavering care and purpose for us. The next quote, part of the quote that I want to look at is, "It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them." So I provided an illustration of what a daisy looks like. I'm pretty sure everybody has a good idea. Even myself, it's not a green thumb. I know what a daisy looks like, but I thought I'd put it up there for those who aren't. But when we consider the simplicity of a daisy, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Each one of these daisies or flowers of the field, though common and modest, is a masterpiece of God's delicate design. The humble flowers of the field, which thrive without effort, yet outshine even the richest garments of King Solomon. This comparison is not just about beauty, it is a profound statement on God's care and provision. The daisy, like all flowers, does not toil or spin to make itself beautiful. Its existence is purely a product of God's nurturing hand, and it thrives exactly as he intended, without stress, without worry. Yet in its simplicity, it surpasses human splendor. Each petal perfectly aligned, each stem standing tall, is a testimony to God's intricate craftsmanship. And though daisies seem to grow by the thousands, each one is unique, which shows God's individual expression of creativity. The repetition of beauty is not a sign of monotony, but of God's endless creativity. The fact that a field can be filled with daisies, each one a tiny reflection of beauty, speaks volumes about how God delights in the details. He's not a distant creator who has set the world in motion and stepped away. He intimately is involved in every aspect of his creation, down to the smallest flower. Jesus uses this example to remind us that if God clothes something as fleeting as grass with such care, something that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much care does he have for us? He cares about his children. The daisies do not last long, yet God adorns them with beauty that is better than any type of human craftsmanship. And this reflection of his deep love for us shows how much more he will provide for our needs, which is of greater importance. Ultimately, the daisy reflects God's faithfulness and attention to details for the smallest of creation. And if he is so faithful in the little things, we can be assured he'll be faithful in the greater things in our own lives. And the last two things I'll look at tonight, part of this quote, are the first and the end, which states, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again,' and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exalt in monotony, but perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in monotony." And the last part of that quote, "It may be that he has eternal appetite for infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our father is younger than we." Jesus often pointed to the qualities of children as examples of faith, we should strive for. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So what does this childlike faith look like, and why is it so essential? Children approach life with unbridled joy and enthusiasm. They exult in the simple pleasures and repetitions of life, playing the same game over and over, asking to hear the same story even though they know the ending, or seeing the same sunset with such wonder each evening. And this childlike joy reflects a heart that finds a delight in the ordinary, much like God's joy in creating and renewing. In Luke chapter 10, verses 21, Jesus expresses his joy and gratitude to God, saying, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Jesus recognized that deep truths of God's kingdom are revealed to those who embrace a simple, childlike faith. Children often ask for things to be repeated because they find security and joy in repetition. Similarly, God's consistent presence provides us with security and comfort. Turn with me, if you will, to Lamentations. It's not a common one we go to, but Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Again, that's Lamentations chapter 3. And in that chapter, we're reminded, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So just as children find comfort in repetition, we find assurance in God's unchanging faithfulness. So how can we incorporate this childlike simplicity into our own lives, into our own faith? In our busy, often overwhelming lives, it's easy to lose sight of the beauty in the ordinary. So make a conscious effort to notice and appreciate the simple things: a sunrise, a gentle breeze, even the laughter of your loved ones. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 4, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them." Cultivating wonder helps us reconnect with that childlike awe that God desires from us. Just as children find comfort in repetition, we find spiritual growth in consistent practices. Regular prayer, Bible reading, and worship are not mere routines, but vital ways to experience God's presence. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul instructs us, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Embracing these practices with the enthusiasm of a child helps us maintain a lasting faith. Evaluate the complexities and distractions in your life. In Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus tells Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." Excuse me. My voice is drying up. "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Simplifying your life to focus on what truly matters, your relationship with God and with others, helps you live with a childlike sense of purpose and joy. Children often express joy and gratitude openly. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul encourages us, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and Father through him." So practicing gratitude and expressing joy in all things and in all aspects of our life reflects the childlike spirit that God values. Children naturally trust those who care for them. They don't worry about where their next meal will come from, how the bills will be paid, or if their parents will love them tomorrow. They depend fully on us for everything, confident that their needs will be met. Similarly, childlike faith means trusting God as our loving Father, relying on Him without doubt or fear. It is a faith that knows deep down that God will provide for and protect us, even when we fully don't understand how. Children possess an innate humility. They do not presume to know everything or claim to be in control. They ask questions, seek guidance, and openly admit when they don't understand something. A childlike faith embraces humility, recognizing that we are not the source of our own strength and our own wisdom. Instead, we turn to God for guidance, knowing He is the one who knows all and holds all things together. Children do not complicate their faith with intricate theological debates or intellectual doubts. Their faith is simple, straightforward, and genuine. They believe because they trust the one who tells them. Childlike faith means we take God at His word, trusting His promises without overcomplicating things. We believe simply because we know that He is. Children are quick to forgive and quick to love. A child's heart is not weighed down by grudges or bitterness. They may be hurt or upset in the moment, but they are also quick to reconcile and return to loving relationships. Jesus emphasized this kind of pure-hearted love, free from malice or resentment, as a model on how we should forgive and love others. Children are naturally honest and transparent. They don't hide their feelings or pretend to be something that they're not. They express their emotions openly and seek comfort when they are hurt. Childlike faith embraces honesty before God. Instead of pretending to have it all together, we approach God with our true selves, our fears, our doubts, our joys, and our hopes, knowing that He loves us for who we are. Children believe in possibilities beyond what is immediately visible. Their imaginations allow them to believe in amazing, incredible things, and that they will happen. In the same way, childlike faith embraces the miraculous. It trusts that with God, all things are possible, even when the circumstances seem impossible. It allows us to believe in God's power to move mountains and do the unimaginable. And finally, children teach us how to pray. You know, every night, Owen and Savannah will say a prayer before bed. One specific night, Owen said a prayer that said, "Dear God, thank you for the food, thank you for the family, for our home, and for all the blessings that you give us. Keep us safe from the evil one and help me do good. Thank you for Jesus, and I want to live in a home in heaven with you. Amen." And I'll be honest, I can't count how many times Owen has said probably the exact prayer. Sometimes he'll just ask or thank God for the food and say amen, and I let him do his thing. And I'll be honest, that night didn't seem too different than any other night, but on that particular occasion, he added that last bit about wanting to be home in heaven with God after this life was over. And so, after the prayer, Owen looked up at me and he said, "Dad, are there homes in heaven?" And I was caught off guard. I actually kind of choked up because, you know, sometimes you don't realize how well you're doing as a parent in life until they present themselves to you naturally. And I said, "Yeah, Owen, Jesus tells us that He's preparing a place for us in heaven when this life is over, with a mansion with many rooms." And then he asked me, "Can we go?" And I said, "Well, whenever He's done preparing." And I could see him thinking, and his wheels were spinning. And he said, "Well, hopefully He finishes soon, because I want to go to heaven, Dad." And you see, children have a purity about their faith that trusts, asks, and believes. And just like my son asked about homes in heaven, we too can come before God with our questions, with our hopes, and our longing to be in a place where we too will be welcomed in His eternal home. If you've ever wondered about heaven or what awaits us beyond this life, remember that Jesus has promised a place for us too, for those that believe. Like a loving father, he prepares a home for each of us, a place of peace, joy, and love beyond anything that we can imagine. So if you've not yet been baptized in the Christ for the forgiveness of sins, I urge you to come forward to the front with a childlike heart. Come with the innocence and trust that believes in God's promises. Pray, seek, and ask, knowing that there is a home waiting for you in heaven, prepared by the one who loves you beyond measure. Will you accept the invitation tonight to be part of that eternal home? And if you are a Christian and have been struggling with sin or have fallen back into the world, we encourage you to repent and come forward to be restored, or to ask prayers from your family here at Brown Street. As children of God, we will be quick to forgive because Christ is merciful and extends that same grace to us. It's no question God is merciful. Speaking of repetition, God states mercy endures forever 41 times in Scripture and 26 times in that particular chapter that I had Brother Mike read this evening. We all struggle. We all fall short. And I can assure you, even though that not all of us come forward when we need to, out of pride, shame, embarrassment, or even trying to maintain a facade of perfection, we could all use a prayer of encouragement and uplifting from time to time. And if any of these apply to you here tonight, I encourage you not to delay. Accept the gift of grace and mercy extended by Christ tonight. Come forward while together we stand and while we sing.